call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. I don't know about you, but when I'm reading my Bible, I'm always looking for promises that'll get me through one more day. I'm always looking for promises that will give me a little bit more time on this earth to do God's will, to see another saved, and to see others become victors in this crazy war that we are in this world. I was asking the Holy Spirit to reveal Scripture to me and find promises that will help me to trust Him more. When I read my Bible, I'm doing that. Last Monday, on July 10th, 2017, I got up real early at Trout Camp Lodge in Reindeer Lake, South End, Saskatchewan, Canada. I was up really early in the morning. I was reading my Bible. To be honest with you, I was feeling alone. I don't know why I was troubled, but I was missing my wife, Marcia. I guess you could say I was having my little old pity party there in the camp and just trying to make sense of what in the world's going on in my life for the last 6 years. I looked out this big, beautiful window out of the lodge. The lake was so calm, it looked like a mirror. And you could see the lake, but then you could see the mountains, and you see the mountains lake back in the lake, you know. I took my Bible and I turned to Psalm 46, because on the 10th day of the month, I always try to read Psalm 46 through Psalm 50. And since that was the time, I began to read, and I got to Psalm 48 and verse 14, and I found something I needed. And you all know when you find something you need in the Bible, it warms your heart. You usually get your pencil out and underline it in your Bible and take a note of it, amen. And this is what the Bible said. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide. And I thought that was very interesting. We're using guides all week up that big lake. And I'll tell you what, once you get out about a mile out of that lake, you don't know which way you're at. I've never been. It's one of the largest lakes in North America, freshwater lakes. It's huge. And there's islands and there's water. Sometimes you can get out there and you see no, if you're looking straight out, all you can see is the horizon. It's an amazing thing. And for this God is our God forever and ever, and He will be our guide even unto death. And I thought, boy, I'm gonna check that one off. That's good. He's going to be my guide forever and ever, and He'll even unto death. I thought, that's neat. We're going fishing with a guide. That's cool. So I underlined that in my Bible, and I mused on that verse, and I realized it gave me great comfort. I pondered on that verse. Then I came to Psalm 50 and verse 15, and it said, "And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." So God said, "I will deliver thee." And I went over that a couple of times. I will deliver thee. That's God's promise to me. I will deliver it. Time of trouble, I will what? Deliver me. And that was a promise that I was looking for that morning. And it was like God spoke to me audibly. He didn't, but he did. And then the last part I read, and it reminded me of why we go through these troubles and sorrows of life. Things that just don't add up, things that we can't wrap our mind around, things that we just don't make any sense to us. And thou shalt glorify me. And I thought of that. And thou shalt glorify me. God said, I'm going to help you through this trouble, and then you will glorify me. One of my dearest friends in the ministry is Pastor Rudy Smith. And last month he called me early in the morning and said, "Brother Shear, Mary just went to glory." And he said, "You know, I don't understand God's plan in my life. But He's always been faithful to me. Why should I doubt Him now?" That was incredible what he said. God had the plan for my life. I don't understand it. But He has always been faithful to me. Why should I doubt Him now? That morning I boarded the airplane and flew down to South Carolina to be with him and his precious family that week. And as we were driving over to the funeral home to see Miss Mary, he said, "You know, Brother Shiver, God has been so good to me all my life. And you know, there's no need to tell Him now." At the funeral, Brother Smith came to the podium. I was supposed to start the service, but he told me, he said, "Brother Shear, just give me a minute." He went up to the platform and grabbed the mic, and his organist began to play. And he sang this song. "No doubt, no time to doubt Him now." This is what the song said. "Looking back through the years, the heartaches and tears, my Lord has never once let me down. Though I don't understand, still I trust in His plan. For He said that His grace would abound. Child of God, have no fear. Though your plan seemed unclear, someday God's plan will unfold. He will never, never fail. He has always prevailed. The Lord is still in control. No need to doubt Him now. He'll make a way somehow. Safely this far Jesus has brought me. No need to doubt Him now." I thought, what a perfect song for a funeral for a lady that he'd been taking care of for 20 years. In these many years of his service to the Lord, he said, "Hey, no need to doubt Him now. I've already been through a lot of stuff. I've already been through a lot of heartaches. You know, God's got me through that, so there's no need to doubt Him now." I want you to see some scriptures that can help you make it through another day. I've gone through a few things in my life. I don't understand them. I don't know if I can put my mind and wrap around it. I just don't understand some things going on in my life, even today. But I do know one thing, folks. There's no need to doubt Him now. He's taking care of us through many things. I stand before you as a pastor for 48 years. Almost 35 years come this August the 2nd, 12th at Heritage Baptist Church. I've seen God use and do great things. I've seen God tear down some things. I've seen God get a hold of some things. I've seen God let go of some things. I've seen God do some most wonderful things. I've also seen wisdom done some more things. Amen. But I know there's no need to doubt Him now. I want to give you some scripture to help you. If I can go through things, and I'm just a little old farm boy from Hope, Michigan. If I can go through some things and make it through some crazy stuff in life, I want you to know that maybe if you just learn something from me, from the Bible, maybe you can make sense through it. So if that's what you're looking for in the sermon, that's what I just want to encourage you today. There's no need to doubt Him now. He's already proven Himself. Amen? He's already proven Himself so many times. Listen to what the Scripture says and teaches us today. Psalm 91:15. If I was you, I'd put that down on a piece of paper. Psalm 91:15. "He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and I'll deliver him and honor him." That's incredible. Psalm 107, verse 19. That's 107:19. "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses." And then the verse 28 of that same Psalm 107, verse 28. "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses." I went over to 2 Chronicles in chapter 33 and verse 12. It says, "And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the Lord and of his fathers. He prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, He was God." Troubles and sorrows come many times to teach us who God really is. Problems come in our lives that we just can't understand. In fact, there's a lot of times the things happen in my life I cannot take. I heard someone say, well, nothing will ever happen to you. You can't withstand. God didn't say that. God said, bring your burdens and put them at my feet. God said, bring your cares to Him, for He careth for you. Amen. There's some things in life. I don't know which way to turn. I'll be honest with you. I don't know which way to go. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do that. But there's a God in heaven who says, listen to me. You bring them to me. You lay it at my feet, and I'll take care of it for you. But notice what Manasseh found out in verse 33 and 12 of 2 Chronicles. It says, and when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord God and what? Humbled himself. Humbled himself greatly before the Lord. You know, sometimes we think we're pretty good. Sometimes we think our feet don't even stink, you know. Something we just think you know, the other day I was at I happened to be at the sheriff's office. We got a call about a motorcycle went off the road and up by Nyhart. And a deputy says, hey, chaplain, you coming with me? And I'll be honest with you, I really wasn't. But I said, yes, sir, I'll be with you. And I had let Josh use my brand new bike, the big yellow. And all I could think of was Josh. I didn't care about that bike. I was thinking about a dad who leaving a wife and four children. You asked that. When I came home and I saw him, I grabbed him and gave him a little bear hug. I said, man, I'm thank God that you're okay. 39-year-old guy. Experienced rider. Brand new Harley. Everything going good. Come out of Calgary. And he didn't make it home. So there are times that you got to understand that you got to humble yourself greatly before God. Lord, you know, hey, one little bug get in you, you're dead. You don't have much. We don't have much hope. This old body of ours, you know, I remember playing football in college, and well, about the third week, you know, you'd hit things and you wouldn't even bruise. I mean, you were just going, you know, and you just run into stuff just for fun, you know. There's a brick wall, run into it, you know. See if you can crack it. I mean, that's crazy you were, you know. But you know what? We're not invincible. We need to humble ourselves greatly before the Lord and say, dear God, you know who I am. One man said, I'm just a bucket of dirt that God just formed. It's all I am. And when I die, I go back to that dirt. We got to understand that we are nobody, and God is everybody. We've got to understand that we must humble ourselves before a holy God and say, dear God, you know, there's some stupid things I've been doing. Dear God, I need to confess some sins. Dear God, there's some things in my life I need to get. Help me with this, Lord God. Manasseh found that out, and God did. And when he did, he said, he knew that the Lord, he was God. I tell you what, when the troubles and heartaches and sorrows come in our lives and we kind of get through it, sometimes we don't get through it, but sometimes we really do get through it, we say, hey, I know who did this one. I know who took care of this. It wasn't me. It was God. Amen. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 9. Zechariah 13, 9. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people. This is what God says. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. My sweet mother was lying in a hospital, and she was in unbearable pain. She had bone cancer, and she'd been fighting this thing for about 2 years. In the last few days of her life, she would cry out to God, say, dear God, Lord, am I gold yet? Lord, am I gold yet? You remember Job chapter 23 verse 10. Scripture says, "But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." That's what my mom kept saying. She was a godly lady, knew her Bible front and back. And she said, "Am I gold yet, God? Am I gold yet?" God tells us many things in His Holy Writ that we are just to be concerned with today. And take care of today, for don't worry about tomorrow. You take care of today. He tells us that there's enough evil in today to deal with tomorrow, let alone the worry about what's going to happen. I think of many times things going on in our lives that, boy, if we had to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow, we'd be in a mess, wouldn't we? So take care of today. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, Jesus said, "Take therefore no thought for the tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for its things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Well, that's a great blessing. Amen. Jesus tells us to pray for our daily food. "Give us this day our daily bread." He didn't say, "Give us this day our yearly bread." He said, "Give us this day our daily bread." Notice the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 32, verse 18 to 19. "Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of the children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is His name, great in counsel and mighty in work. For thine eyes are open unto all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing." Proverbs also says, "Then they cried unto the Lord." Excuse me, Psalm 107, verse 6. "Then they cried upon unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth in the right way, that they might go to the city of habitations." Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of the man. "For He satisfieth the longing soul." How many times are we longing? "Oh, God, just help me this. Lord God, would You give me..." I know some of your grandparents out there. I'm experiencing some of those things in my life now. And how we long for our grandchildren. How we long that they would live for God. You know, there's a funny thing about a grandparent, you know. They sure like our presents at Christmas, amen? And they sure love our birthday. But they're not like our kids. Our kids, we used to yank their chain once in a while. We can't yank the chain of a grandkid. That's the sad thing about it, amen? And they're not at home. And you can't watch over them. You can't. I had a week with my two grandsons. And boy, I had time. They were just next to me in the boat. And we just talked and talked and talked. And one's 15, one's 16. And they're getting old enough to make sense with, you know. And boy, I tell you what, the things that we got to talk about, and the things of God's got to talk about, you know. We don't get to do that very much. And it's so precious for those moments that we have. And we have a longing soul for that. Some of your parents, your child may have not doing the things you want them to do, and you have such a longing. You know, for some of us, we know that some of the things we did when we were that age, and our hearts are just yearning that they wouldn't get into something like that, or we're longing. And God said, I'll satisfy you. I'll satisfy you. He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Ain't God good? Isn't God good to help us through these times and heartaches and sorrows? When I was working on this sermon, I read the words of a wonderful, powerful verse that I thought of a song that I love to hear sing. It's called "Hallelujah." All my life long I had panted for a drink from some cool spring. that I hope would quench the burning of thirst I felt within. Feeding on the husk around me till my soul was almost gone. Long I sought for something better, only still to hunger on. Well of water, ever springing, bread of life so rich and free, untold wealth that never faileth, my Redeemer is to me. Oh, hallelujah! I have found Him, whom my soul so long have craved. Jesus satisfies my longing. Through His blood, I know I'm saved. But listen, my friend, what will happen to those who will not listen to God's Word? Those who will not keep God's law and His commandments. Psalm 107, verse 10. Such as sit in darkness in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Listen now, why? Because, verse 11, they rebelled against thy works of God, thy words of God, and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Look what God says. He tells of what He is going to happen to those who are unwilling to come under the authority of the God's Word. And how can we live a life like that unless we read God's Word, unless we make it a daily meal for each one of us each day? We need to read the Word of God. You need to read it constantly. Keep it in your heart. Keep it in your life. So you have an answer for this crazy world that we have. Look at verse 12. Therefore, He brought down their hearts with labor, and they fell down, and there was none to help. But look at the next verse. Well, glory to God. What God's tender mercy. Verse 13. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. You may be going through some of the toughest times of your life right now. I don't know that. Sometimes people in our church, they let the preacher know that, so I can pray for you. But some of you, you know, you're going through some things nobody knows about except you. Your stresses and troubles and heartaches, you don't know which way to turn. I'll tell you where. Turn to Jesus. Give it to the Lord. Look at God's mercy over in Lamentations. Well, thank God for His mercy. Lamentations 3:22. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. It's because of God's mercy. I don't know. I was someplace. I was talking to somebody. He says, oh, man. He says, if it wasn't for God's mercy, God should have just burned me right there in the spot. And somebody else is saying, yeah, it says, you know, if it wasn't for God's mercy, I'd be dead. Somebody else says, yeah, if it wasn't for God's mercy, I would not have the wife that I have or the children I have. And they just went on and testifying about that. It wasn't for God's mercy. God's Word said if it wasn't for the Lord's mercy, we should be consumed because of His compassion faileth not. They are new every morning. And then we get this great song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. God renews His mercy every morning. Verse 24, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore I will hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. Boy, there's a hard word right there, right in the middle of it, wait for Him. Boy, it's sure hard to wait, isn't it? It's just hard to wait. Boy, it's hard to wait. But Lord, come on! I heard one man said, God is never in a hurry, but He's always on time. How true. It is good that man should both hope and quietly wait. That's the hardest thing. Quietly wait. With gripers, complainers. Well, the Lord, and I don't want the Lord, and I don't want the Lord. You know what? God has a perfect place and a perfect thing for you in your life. Wait, I say on the Lord. And again I say, wait, the Bible says, Paul said that. Wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silent. That's hard for a young guy to do. Sit alone, keep silent. Old people find themselves alone a lot. Young people don't. They're always around everybody, you know. But the Bible says, he that sitteth alone and keepeth silent because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust. Literally bows down to God. If so, be there maybe help, hope. He giveth his cheek to them that smiteth him, and he filleth full, and he is filled full with reproach. The Lord will not cast him out forever. Wait. Let me remind you of the great fact about God. This is a great fact a lot of people don't know. God is no respecter of person. We hear everybody chanting that such lives matter. Well, let me tell you something. God is no respecter of person. It doesn't make a difference what color you are. It doesn't make a difference where you came from, whether you came from Michigan, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Pennsylvania, Washington. It doesn't make a difference. New Mexico, Arizona, Wisconsin, make a difference. Just that they have a good football team. But anyway, this is what the Bible says. For there is no respect of person with God. Romans chapter 2, verse 11. So, if God did this for them, he can do this for us. Amen? Hey! If God can do for them, there's no need to doubt him now. Remember the Old Testament about the life of Job? Job was a godly and a good man. He eschewed evil. He was a hater of evil. J. Carl L. said, godly persons do not only forbid sin, they abhor it. They have not only their hands bound from it, but they have their hearts set against it. A godly man's opposition of sin is universal. It is against all sin. Godly persons do not only avoid an act of sin, but all the occasions of sin. To me, it's amazing, yet Job, in all his troubles, in all his losses, in all his sorrows, and all his disappointments, and all his health problems, and all his woes, learned a very valuable lesson that all of us today should learn. To eschew evil, to depart from evil, to abstain from every evil thing. There are four characteristics of Job's piety. He was sincere, he was upright, he was a worshiper of true God, and he abstained from all wrong things. That's a pretty good idea as we as Christians ought to be living. These are the essential elements of true religion everywhere. The whole statement of the book of Job showed Job was, though not absolutely free from sin, which cleaved to our nature, eminent in each of these things. What does the Bible say? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Here's the kicker. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. James said, pure religion and undefiled before God and Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Pretty hard to do that today. The world's every place. As a Christian, I was reading Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown's book, and it says, we are to submit to trials, not because we see the reason for them. Get that? We are to submit to trials, not because we see the reason for them. Number two, nor yet as though they were a matter of chance, but because God wills them and he has the right to send them, and he has his own good reason to send them. I need what I'm getting today. You need what you need today, but the trouble is most of us don't get it and say, you know, I need this in my life today. I don't ask for trials, but I need to come under those trials. I need to be willing to say, Lord, thy will be done. F.B. Meyer wrote, Job was stripped of every possession. There was our dark days in our lives when messengers come at the heel of messenger. And we sit down amid the ruin of our happiness. All that made life gay and beautiful has withered. And we, treading a dreary waste, our soul is almost dead within us, our feet are blistered. Then our friends come and lay the blame on the Chaldeans and the lightning and the Sabians and the hurricanes. They pity us as unfortunate and miserable. Let me tell you something. Don't pity me and don't call me unfortunate. I will say that God is using me and I'm going to allow Him to take care of me. I will not curse God in this thing. And neither should you. Sing to heaven you and you say, well, it's just not fair. Let me tell you something. It's not about us. It's about Him. Well, Lord, these things, I can't handle them anymore. Put it at my feet. I think I know what I'm doing. I told somebody a while back, he says, you know, it did not surprise God 6 years ago that my wife had a ventricle cardiac arrest. Didn't surprise Him at all. He knew what was going on. Yep. There's so many things in my life that He knew what was going on. Not so many things. All the things in my life. He knew what was going on. He knew how to prepare me, and He knows how He's preparing me. Brother Smith said something about choked me about a month ago. He said, Brother Shear, you're a better man today than you were before this happened. He said, I'm a better man because I'm able to show God's glory in it. God have mercy if we go through this stuff and we don't show God's glory in it. Then we just gotta. It's just wasted time. God, don't let me waste this time. That's what I beg God. God, don't let me waste my life. I'm complaining and griping and whining. God, help me to get up and be a man. Quit whining. Quit be a sissy about it. Just pick it up, get it, do it. Do it. Amen. But we say to ourselves, looking beyond the secondary cause, the cause beyond them all, the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. That's when we get the victory. The Lord gave, and the Lord took away. Sometimes we get no further than that. But how happy we are when we can say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hey, let me tell you something. I'm so jealous. Sometimes I come to church and I see you and your wife talking, touching each other, trying to corral all those kids you got. And I see mine in a walker. Who cannot even carry a conversation. I really do. But I have to get to the point in my life. Now listen to me. I'm trying to teach you something. Don't you waste my hurt. Don't you waste my hurt so I can't help you. You listen to me now. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He knows what He's doing. You say, but preacher, you don't know my health problems. I know I don't, but God does. Why don't you just put on a P.S. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But you don't understand my child that's sick and can't even get around. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Don't stop the Lord gave and Lord take it away. Hey, anybody can say that. If the true Christian is the man and the woman, the boy and the girl who says, you know, I'm trusting God. I'm accepting God's principles. I am not a, what's the word for it? What do they call a person that always feels he's lost it all, and he's a, not pessimist, he's a, yeah, downer, he's a, help me. Negative, no. Martyr. He's always playing the martyr. I'll give you $50 for that answer. He's a martyr. Oh, woe is me, look at me. God said, hey, you guys out praying? Don't put ashes on your face and don't put tears down on your eyes. He said, wash your face. Be happy. Because you serve a living God. Amen. I'm serving a living God today. My God answers my prayer, and God will answer your prayer. God is no respecter of persons. Just because I put the clerical garb on, the pastor's garb, doesn't mean that God loves me more than He loves you. You can just, somebody said, preacher, will you pray? I said, have you prayed? Well, no, I just wanted you to pray. I said, no, you pray because God's no respecter of persons. He'll answer your prayer, just as I answer yours. I think I got a prayer answered. Would you pray that it comes true? I've owed Benefist $355,000. We had a kind of a rinky-dink insurance company that gave us a little money. And I've been praying that God would take care of that thing. Yesterday I got home, I opened my mail. Not yesterday, it was Thursday. Yesterday we came in the mail. And I opened my mail, and it said, please pay the remainder of this to Benefist Hospital, $217. I know I owe over $6,000, but it said something about corrected, and it said something about payment, and it said you only owe, if you pay within 30 days, $217, something like that. If not, it's $260. Man, I about had a fit. I read that over. I don't know if it's true or not, but I'm giving them a call tomorrow morning. They open at 9 o'clock, and they're getting my call. In fact, I just happened to be a chaplain down there, so I just happened to go down to the financial office and explain this to me, please. For it, if it is true! In 6 years, God has allowed us to pay $355,000 that I don't have. And I could tell you a lot of stories. I'm just saying, don't be a martyr. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The true soul is reckless of what happens to himself so long as glory of the Lord's name remains unsulled and enhanced. Let us, above all, never charge God with foolish by impeaching His love or the rectitude of a decision. Let us say, blessed be the name of the Lord. I know some of you have been through some awful tough. I know some of you have been through cancer. I know some of you have been through heart problems. I know some of you have been through things I can't even say here today. I know there's been public humiliation, and I know there's been heartaches and sorrows, and I know many of you have bared it on my shoulders for you. But I will tell you something, there's a God in heaven that knows exactly where you're going and exactly how you're going to come through this thing. I hope, I pray in God's name that you will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Looking back through the years, the heartaches and tears, my Lord has never once let me down. Though I don't understand, still I trust His plan, for He said His grace would abound. Child of God, have no fear. Though your path seems unclear, someday God's plan will unfold. He has never, never failed. He has always prevailed. The Lord is still in control. No need to doubt Him now. He makes a way somehow. Safely this far, Jesus has brought me. No need to doubt Him more. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, I pray You'd speak to our hearts. Lord, if there be anyone here today not sure they're saved, not sure they're on their way to heaven, that today they'd take care of that greatest need of all mankind, and that's for a Savior. For mankind is full of sin, and because of sin, sin sends us to hell. But Lord Jesus, You finished the course. You died on the cross, and You gave salvation to mankind if they only believe. Only believe. Lord, I pray today You speak to our hearts. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I'd sure like to know that. Would you please pray for me? Would you lift your hand? Do you trust in this God that loves you and cares for you?" You say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven. I need to know that. Preacher, pray for me. Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you." God bless you. You hear today and say, "Preacher, today I want to get saved." Right there in your seat, right there in your place, you can bow your head and pray. And pray prayer like this: "Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe You died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right here and right now at this spot." If you just prayed that prayer, would you lift your hands and say, "Preacher, I prayed that prayer. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you." In a moment, I'm going to ask you to step out of that seat. I want you to meet me up front here. I want to have someone take you from the Bible, take you to the Bible and show you exactly what you did. That is so important for you to know for sure. If you die today, you go to heaven. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Going to ask everyone to stand. Everyone stand. You heard today and say, "Preacher, today I pray to invite Jesus Christ to be my Savior. Why don't you come and let me show you from the Bible?" You come right now.
I need some help. Okay. I'm going to ask my mom.
Okay. You're today and say, "Preacher, I prayed and invited Jesus in my heart. Why don't you come right now? Let me show you from the Word of God." Oh, how important it is to know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven. Maybe you're here today and you say, "Preacher, there's no reason to doubt Him now. There's some things in my heart and my life I've been really struggling with. Boy, it's a struggle. I don't know which way to turn." Why don't you come and just let the Lord speak to your heart today. You hear today and say, "Preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Lord and Believer's baptism. Why don't you come at this time since you've been saved?" You hear today and say, "Preacher, I've been, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at. Why don't you come at this time?" You know, you ought to have a place you can call home. There's something about it. It's sure nice, and it's a few minutes. We'll leave here and go home. We don't have to be invited in. It's our home. We just walk in. It's our place. It's our place of abode. You know what? God wants you to have a home like that in church. God wants you to have a place that you can call home. You just walk in. You have the key to the building. You don't feel bad about coming in. It's your place. You take ownership of it. Jesus said, I made it that way that you would feel at home. Father, we thank You today. We thank You for the opportunity that You would show us the Word of God, to remind us that there's no need to doubt You now because You've taken care of us so much, so many times that can't even number. Lord, speak to our hearts. Lord, may we trust in You. And when troubles come and heartaches come, may we say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Lord, we thank You for that. Lord, now Help us as we go to our separate homes. Bring us back tonight at 5 for choir practice, at 6 o'clock for evening service. May it be a blessing and help to each other. Lord, help us to tell others about you. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.